Welcome back, everyone, to the second of three specials from International AER 2014. The organization is looking at its 30th anniversary, and with that comes a lot of change. You have to think about what was available in the 80s. The Versa Braille, a lot of things on cassette, members-only jackets. I admit it. I had a members-only jacket. It's black and it's leather, but it was a members-only jacket. And there was actually a lot of looking back at the 80s in that there was a costume contest. And I think if I had given my jacket to Ricky, we might have won. I'm almost sure of it. And for the record, I can't fit in that jacket anymore. High school was a long way away. But I remember a lot of my technology that I used in the 80s in high school. And talking to vocational and, of course, educational-based vendors, we got a lot of information what it's like for people currently attending high school or trying to obtain a job. That's right. Take a listen to these particular interviews and see what is available for those who are doing that right now.
I'm Ricky Enger for the Saratok Podcast Network, and I'm doing coverage for the International AER Convention in San Antonio, sponsored by HIMSS. I have the pleasure of speaking with Sue Martin, who is probably familiar to many of you, and talking about her wonderful book, Out of the Whirlpool. Hi, Sue. How's it going?
Hi, Ricky. Thanks. It's going well.
Excellent. Great to see you at this show. You have, of course, been a guest on our SAMNet In It to Win It program. Talking about your book, and we've done some publicity about that. For those who don't know, and you must have been living under a rock if you don't, let's talk about what the book, Out of the Whirlpool, kind of covers. What is it about?
Well, Ricky, it begins with my suicide attempt with a gun when I was 26 years old, and basically goes through putting my life back together after my suicide attempt. I'm blind as a result of the suicide attempt. So the first part of the book, I go into what it feels like to be suicidally depressed and to want to end that pain of such severe depression, and then the events leading up to and immediately after my suicide attempt. But the next part of the book is all about blind rehab. Blind rehab from a literary style rather than step one, step two, step three.
Mm-hmm.
The message of the book, I mean, you'd think that something about suicidal depression and new blindness would be depressing, but the book is full of joy, it's full of triumph. And what's happening as more and more people become aware of the book and read it and are talking about it is I'm having the opportunity to really get before suicide prevention groups and tell my story and open the conversation.
And I think that's really important because the book itself is very educational, both in the aspect of vocational rehab, of course, and in the aspect of what is it like to feel this way, what can be done if you are in a situation like that. And it's important for people to have those kinds of resources. So you've gone beyond the book and you're speaking to many, many groups all over the country.
Yeah. And when about 6 months ago in the community where I grew up, in response to someone in the community who attempted to kill himself, a group got started called AWARE. And I spoke to that group in April, and it was this year is the 40th reunion of my high school class. And being back in the community after being out of state for so long, it's been really interesting to hook up with people. And when I spoke to the AWARE Suicide Prevention Group, it was the first time I had stood before my peers in 40 years.
And of course, those peers knew you before you were blind, and it must have been something of a surprise to see, wow, you know, suddenly your life has changed considerably, but you were still able to, to speak.
I'm still the same person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For people who may be feeling depressed or even suicidally depressed or just need support groups like this, what's the best place for them to go, aside, of course, from reading your book and learning some things? What is the best resource for someone to look at just to start out and maybe find a support group in their area?
One thing that I say when I do public speaking is if you feel that life is not worth living, if you feel like you want to end your life, stay alive. There is always, always hope. But in order for there to be hope, there has to be life. So stay alive and ask for help. You can ask for help. The best thing, I mean, sort of the universal way to ask for help, at least in this country, is the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-2855. They can put you in touch with local resources.
Right.
You can also, if you really are in crisis, go to the nearest emergency room and ask for help.
Certainly. For people who want to read your book and haven't yet, there are still a couple of them out there. Where can they go to find the book, get it purchased in either text or audio?
Audio, I recorded it myself, and my recordings are available from my website, outoftheWhirlpool.com. And Whirlpool is W-H-I-R-L-P-O-O-L. Because that's what suicidal depression felt like to me, Whirlpool.
Yes.
It is available from Bard. It's available in electronic text from the Amazon store as a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of ways to get the book.
Excellent. And outoftheWhirlpool.com, people will be able to find all that information. And I'm assuming that you probably have a calendar of speaking engagements on that site as well. Would that be accurate?
Not future, but I do have a timeline.
Excellent.
That's very interesting. You know, it has the interview that I did with you, and I was amazed when I put that timeline together. I was like, I did all of this? Whoa.
That is fantastic.
You can actually read the first three chapters of the book, if you're not sure, by going to outoftheworldpool.com/the-book.
Excellent. Sue, I want to thank you so much for taking a little time out of your schedule to speak with me.
Thanks, Ricky.
And wish you the best of luck. And of course, as always, I thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you, Ricky.
For the Sarah Talk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Unger.
Welcome back to San Antonio, everyone. Here on day one of the convention of the International AER meeting here for their 30th anniversary. And celebrating that anniversary with me is Michelle from Enhanced Division. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. How are you, Joe?
Doing well. You are here with Enhanced Vision at this lovely exhibit hall, and you are talking about some of the new stuff that's out from Enhanced Vision. Full disclosure, I have an Acrobat LCD, so anybody who's wondering why I might know a little bit more about this product than other CCTVs, I own one.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Yes, today we're here showing the brand new Acrobat Mini HD product, which is battery operated and runs a full 6.5 hours. So you do not have to be tethered to the wall to an electrical outlet.
Okay.
You can be anywhere in your home and have a beautiful 3-in-1 camera that does distance reading and self-viewing. And self-viewing, as you know, is very important for those who are taking care of their own health. You
right.
know, shaving, putting your own makeup on,
right.
Looking at your circulation of your toes if you're diabetic.
Absolutely.
Just a wonderful product.
Or and, very neurotic, or have a narcissistic issue, or self-image is a very important thing.
Oh, very, very much so.
But actually, for color and things like that, if you have... Some people who develop vision later in life have issues distinguishing color, and sometimes seeing color on an LCD can be a big thing to be able to distinguish that that matches with this, or even more so, like you were saying with circulation, people wear jewelry and forget sometimes to take the jewelry off to see that it's leaving marks, especially if they're diabetic. So I joke,
definitely.
But there's a reason for that.
Oh, absolutely. And we're finding that a lot of our clients need the contrast. They need the additional lighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily at all times about the size of the screen or how big the magnification is, but this gives you a wonderful combination of both a medium screen and a very, very reactive camera.
So it's kind of the replacement to, say, the flipper? In a way?
It is. It's the flipper on steroids.
Yeah.
That's what I always call it.
Yeah.
Because flipper used to be this wonderful camera that would roll
wheels.
Back and forth with kind of the wide wheelbase and very, very rugged. And this takes it a step further with a sensor so it knows when you're doing distance. It saves all of your favorite settings. So if you turn that camera ahead to look across the room and then point it down again, it's going to remember the contrast mode and the magnification level that you recently had it on.
Right. And unlike, say, the Acrobat LCD, like I have, you're carrying a larger monitor, a 19, a 22, or something like that, which is built onto the base. And if you had just the classic Acrobat, which was kind of the first, you had to unmount it and then remount it. And some people put it on a cart, I know, for a while, like an AV cart. But this sounds to me like it's way better for portability and taking from place to place and still getting everything you like with the ability to move that arm back and forth.
Oh, most definitely. We've had some wonderful users like yourself tell us, gosh, you know, I wish I had something I could put on my desk at work that's not going to take up as much room as the existing monitor that I have.
Exactly.
And this is that perfect companion product.
That's not going to take a bunch to tear down and then put back in its case. And the cases, by the way, if you've never had an opportunity, some of the nicest cases in the industry for taking down your stuff. I love my Acrobat case for that reason, to take it with me to hotel rooms and conferences and be able to read things for work for Serotech for that very reason. So rolling cases and the like in the Enhanced Vision line, very, very much one of the things I enjoy about it. But in this case, and I don't mean that literally, but in this situation... We're talking about a unit that has a lot of ability, so it's an arm that can move up and down and give you that ability of not having to move an XY table, not feel confined, and like you said, save up desk space in a whole new dimension.
Oh, definitely. And with its patent-pending base to it, which is a steel base that has room on the right-hand side so that if you have larger materials, like a very long newspaper, you can actually point the camera to the right and actually scroll and push your newspaper all the way back and through the base. You are not stuck like you are with some of the others.
I know so well, especially if it's like legal paper or something like that, or you're looking at something in Excel. Exactly.
Definitely. And you know what? Everybody deals with pieces of mail that's larger when you unfold them, favorite magazines, newspapers. You know, we all have something that we look at that needs a lot of room on that table.
And in relation to education, geography class. Oh, to be able to put an atlas under there and not have to fight with bending and folding and mutilating, man.
So true. And being able to point this camera at those smart boards and be able to see the teacher that's lecturing.
And pointing at the map and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So, and there's still the other lines, Transformer and Merlin, still available.
Yes, there are, and I will leave you with a wonderful lead-in. Early next year, we will have a brand new redesigned Geordi, the head-worn unit that you can wear, very eyeglass-like, with a control pad that you hold in your hand, and a very reliable, rechargeable battery, and just a very smart unit that gives you some wonderful distance viewing when you're outdoors.
Before there was Google Glass, there was the Geordi, ladies and gentlemen, and I have, from a former coworker of yours, a picture of Geordi wearing the Geordi. So LeVar's picture of wearing it when he came to the offices.
Send me a copy of that. I would love that.
That is one of those things that I was like, oh, really, really, really? When I thought of it again when he was up for the Reading Rainbow Kickstarter, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But that'll be, what, the Mark IV, the Mark V at this point? That's
a lot. Be hesitant to quote it. I think it's our fifth version.
I'm dating myself, everybody. I'm not dating Michelle at all. That is, I would never do such a thing. But carbon dating for how old these things are. But yeah, I remember some of the early iterations. So with today's technologies and that ability and that ease of use, that's going to be really interesting. So probably around CSUN, I would imagine we could look forward, if not sooner.
Definitely. And just know that all the feedback that you give to us goes into the next generation to make it better and better. So we thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Where can people find out more about these wonderful products, Michelle?
Well, you could go to our website, which is enhancedvision.com. And definitely send us a note, and we will keep you updated on all the latest and greatest products that are designed and assembled right there in Huntington Beach, California.
Absolutely. Thank you again for your time for the Serotalk Podcast Network, sponsored by HIMS. This is Joe Steinkamp.
Live in San Antonio at International AER 2014, and it's the 30th anniversary, actually, which is wonderful. I'm doing coverage sponsored by HIMS. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm speaking with Troy at MDI Traffic Control. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Did I get that right? MDI Traffic Control or Traffic Products?
Traffic Control Products, MDI.
There we go. Okay.
MDI Excellent. Is located in Farmington Hills, Michigan. We manufacture temporary traffic control products, and we've been in business for probably the last 35 years doing temporary traffic control products, and today at AER we came out with a new device this year, which is an audible sign stand that could be used multiple purposes, but primarily for work zones where there'd be sidewalk closures or block closures or
right.
road closures.
So for some traffic control products, the idea is for it to be permanent and you have an audible walk sign and the like, but you guys specialize in maybe someone needs to take a detour if there is a construction zone and that kind of thing. How do you go about setting up something like this where you need to get information to someone audibly? What's the process?
Well, this audible sign stand is portable, mm-hmm. and you would begin by using a text-to-speech software
right.
that we provide, and you type in a detailed information of that would be geared towards that particular work zone or work site. So it would give you type in a detailed description of how to maneuver through the work zone or how you would have to get around the work zone safely. So the first thing you do is you go ahead and you type your message.
Yep.
You would save it onto a USB drive.
Okay.
And then you come over to the audible device and you would plug in that USB stick into the audible stand, and it will upload that message that you created.
Yes.
And I can show you an example of what this would sound
like. Yeah, let's do that.
So the audible sign stand would be in position, and it can operate in several different ways. So I'll start with the first way. The first way would be we come over here, and it would have that locator tone that is used mm-hmm. just like at intersections. That would direct the pedestrian to walk towards the audible sign stand, and they would feel and they would find the push button.
When gotcha.
They push the push button, mm-hmm. this is the message.
University Drive pedestrian sidewalk closed ahead for 2 blocks. Alternate path on opposite side of road. Cross to the other side of next intersection and continue 2 blocks.
So this would be an example of a message that we typed on the text-to-speech software that
right.
we uploaded on the audible device. There can be multiple languages used. It could be mm-hmm. English followed by Spanish or vice versa. Another way that this could operate, instead of the pedestrian having to walk towards that tone to push the push button.
To push the button, right.
We can, I'm going to change these switches real fast. This would be something that the contractor or the engineer would do out in the field.
Right.
And move a switch, and we're going to come over here. And now, if you are walking towards a unit, the motion detection picks you up automatically and will just trigger the message automatically. So
that's
this
very convenient.
Prevents the pedestrian to actually have to walk up and find a push button. It will just go automatically and give them the instructions they need. You could also have this device automatically loop over and over and just play the message and never
yeah,
stop.
Yeah, so you could just, it could be just babbling to itself all day long.
But
there
because this is a battery operated unit and it's portable,
it's probably best to use
the motion sensor because you might not have much foot traffic at nighttime. You know,
right.
say for instance from midnight to 6 in the morning. There may not be several pedestrians walking down the road. A few of the other features that it also has is the ambient noise detection. So construction sites can be very loud.
Oh, yes.
You could have jackhammers. You can have the big trucks moving around. So this will automatically adjust the volume to overcome the ambient noise in the field at that
so
time.
this can be made to be quite loud.
Yes, all the way up to 100 decibels, which
wow.
is very loud. So
yes.
inside here, we're not going to get that loud
because
of the screen. But,
how does someone go about, if there is construction, and say the city is doing this, how do they go about learning about you so that they know to contact you in order to get this to be available? Or can consumers advocate on their own behalf? Like, hey, I need to tell my city that...
Yes, you could advocate on by yourself and tell your city. We do attend, this is our first time at the AER conference show, but mm-hmm. we do attend with the ATSA, and we're on the temporary traffic control committees. So these are problems that have been brought to the committee that we, as a manufacturer, we try to resolve those problems.
Ah,
so that's
right.
how this kind of develops. We do work with the FHWA, and other organizations on trying to promote safety, the best possible safety for pedestrians.
Where can people read about everything that MDI Traffic Control Products does? Because you do several things. This is one of them, and there are a couple of others, I think.
Well, I think in newsletters, but I think mainly our website will hold the most amount of information, which, Sean, do you know what our website is off the top? It would be
www.mdiworldwide.com.
Worldwide.com.
Very good. Troy, I want to thank you so much for demonstrating this. This is very fascinating and for taking the time to kind of describe how it all works.
Oh, good. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Joe Steinkamp back in San Antonio at International AER, and I stopped by the eSight booth, and I'm saying that correctly. I hope that, right? Okay, I'm looking over at Hugh and Carolyn to give me nods of approval or dissension, one of the two.
Absolutely.
How are you guys? You know, I talked to Gord Hudak from Ambutech earlier, who's a Canadian. Have you guys ventured out into the 100-degree heat yet, just to say that you have?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, right away.
I like it. I like the heat. It's good.
Okay. Love it.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty cool at home.
Oh, I would imagine so. Somebody I had said earlier on another interview was from California, and they're like, I like 70 degrees. That's what it reminds me of. So that's 6:30 in the morning.
That's right.
Right on.
So I'm here by the booth, and you guys having a good show so far talking about your
wares? We are. We've come across such great people. It's just been a thrill for us to be here.
Great.
So we're definitely worth the trip down from Canada.
For sure.
And what's going on these days for eSight?
Well, first of all, eSight, just tell you a little bit about the product. It's a pair of electronic glasses that help those with low vision, particularly those that have lost their center vision, to be able to see again. And we've been able to help people between an acuity of 20/60 up to about 20/400.
Wow.
And even in the last little while, maybe 6 or 8 months, we've actually been able to stretch that a little bit.
Okay.
So it's been pretty exciting to help those that have a wide array of different visual conditions. So it's pretty exciting.
So this is done through a prismatic or through a series of...
It's a high-definition camera that projects the image onto these two little OLED screens that sit in front of the user's eyes.
Okay.
And it is attached to a controller, and the user is then able to manipulate that image, zoom up, and increase the contrast, which is, as you know, very... very important for those that have low vision.
Right.
So it's great. I think I have the best job in the world.
No, I understand that. What's the weight of the unit when on the face?
6 ounces.
6 ounces. See, he caught that real quick. All
right.
Yeah, 6 ounces. And the frame is designed that weight is distributed across the forehead instead of the nose.
So you don't get that heavy nose bridge thing going on, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think of the movie The Jerk with the handle where you had to pull it on and off.
Right. And it also has a tilt feature. So the head-mounted device can tilt up. So you use your peripheral vision to walk around.
Okay.
And then it's kind of the reverse of trifocals where you look up instead of down. So you just train yourself to look up into the screens.
Right.
And you can also pull it down if you're reading or that kind of thing.
Okay. So does it do that like by gyroscope or is it watching how you're using your vision?
The tilt is done manually.
Okay.
Okay. And then basically... what you want to look at, you just have to lower your head and manipulate the controls, as Carolyn was alluding to, to the amount of zoom or contrast that you want.
Okay.
What's great is it actually gives the wearer the best of both worlds, because when it's tilted up, you can still use your regular peripheral vision to navigate, but then if you want to see something across the room or down the hall, you literally just look up, and then you can manipulate that image to get the detail.
How does it work for, say, light to dark, or does it have great color contrast for earth tones? Like this carpet here is really kind of tan, brown, copperish kind of thing.
So the color is definitely all in color, and it's all real time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the more you contrast, the less color you may have. It just kind of diminishes a little bit.
Right.
But absolutely, it's in full color.
Right. Mm-hmm. And going from light to dark, like today, here we are in a dark hotel, and then stepping out, you can adjust pretty well to it.
Adjust very, very quickly. Yes, absolutely.
I believe in the director's commentary on most of my Laserdisc, they said, look at the bloom, look at the bloom. Right? Excellent. Now, you said you have success stories, and those would be able on your website? And
absolutely. We have a lot of our videos on the website. I should add that we now have the capability of watching television directly into the glasses.
All right.
Yes. So with an HDMI cable, we're able to actually have that video stream right in the glasses, so you could be lying on your couch facing the ceiling and watching your favorite movie.
Or better yet, you're not sitting in front of the television and all the family has to watch around you.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
That's the way I watch TV without this.
We hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if you could just get your own portable sound system, you just wear your headphones
and watch what you want to watch and nobody else knows what you're watching.
Absolutely. I like this idea. So, no, it's not hockey. Not at all.
No, I'm not watching hockey. And the client base we have right now is from age 9 to 93.
Right. Well, that's interesting about the direct input, because that has so many potentials for those in the classroom, you know, to be able to do that, because that can be a big issue for those who are having to watch film strips or the like with the rest of their peers. And
correct.
Being able to be closer to that material without having to, can you hit pause for a second while I go rub my nose up against the screen, is a really helpful kind of thing. But also sometimes if you're in a theater, you don't always, or in a classroom even, when you were talking about the peripheral vision and zoning, I was thinking about that. I'm glaucoma, so for me, I'm central pretty much anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But with the narrowing of fields, sometimes you don't get to sit where you want to. And being able to have kind of your own private viewing party sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It is. And I should also add as well that it runs on battery.
Mm-hmm.
So it runs on a 4-hour lithium battery.
Okay.
And two batteries are included. So you basically have 8 hours worth of battery, and with it being lithium, you're able to charge while you use it. So being in the classroom is fantastic for children to be able to always have that source and 8 hours worth right out of the get-go.
Now, I run a low vision show. I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, because I know I'll get email from our listeners. How does it work when, say, looking at a computer screen or trying to read a computer or playing Xbox? I'm sorry.
That's what I, for me, that's one of the biggest benefits, is that I use it for my laptop, I use it for my desktop, right? So it works fine. The device itself has autofocus and has manual focus.
Right.
So once I get it set on the auto, then I go into manual, which lets me tweak the focus that I need. I can manually tweak it, but it locks it in. So, you know, when I turn and look away a little bit past the monitor, let's say, it won't, if it's on autofocus, it'll go out of focus, because now it's focused on something past the monitor, right? Mm-hmm. So once I lock it in, it's locked in.
The other advantage is one of our users at work, who's also low vision, he's a full-time employee with us, he actually has it right into the glasses as well, his monitor.
Right.
So he does not have a monitor on his desk.
Right.
So his monitor is right in the glasses, and he loves that. So it's very adaptable.
Now, the question I have to ask, and I don't want to ask, but I'm going to ask because somebody will ask me on Twitter, why didn't I ask it? Thank you, social media. This is binocular vision, so depth perception, and you probably don't want to go jogging or something like that with it, I would imagine.
Well, again, because we have the bioptic tilt,
you
have the best of both worlds.
Okay.
You do have your regular peripheral vision, so it's not necessarily monocular. You have the best of both worlds. You can have that detail when you want it, but to move around and, you know, jog, you would still be using your regular peripheral vision.
Right.
But you would be able to see things coming at you at a much sooner distance than before.
Like Tyler, when he's out waiting for the bus, he sets his focus point about 5 bus lengths away, so he can and lock it in, so he can look up and he can see the bus. You know, that's the bus I want, right? Instead of waiting till it gets so close, you know, you're not sure what the bus is, as an example.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially if your city doesn't have talking buses or, in some cases, even illuminated signs. Today I'm the 6, but you didn't say 6 on the side. You know?
Correct.
That's don't you love those real-world scenarios?
And Bob went to his son's football game.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's a user, and enjoyed it. You could see your son playing.
Again.
Yeah.
I could.
Excellent.
It had been a few years, and I was actually able to enjoy watching my son play football again. It was great. I could zoom in and make him almost full screen and just keep the focus on him.
Well, this is fantastic stuff. And where can people go to find out more about it and see the videos and the testimonials you were talking about?
Yes, our website is eSightEyewear.com.
Excellent.
And everything, all the information that they could want is on there. We have a toll-free number. And if anyone has any questions, by all means, give that number a call, and we'd be happy to speak with them.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for your time here, and enjoy the rest of hot Texas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Including the food, which is also hot. Here in San Antonio, this is Joe Steinkamp for the Serotalk Podcast Network, sponsored by Hims.
Meet eBot, the revolutionary portable reading, writing, and distance viewing video magnifier from Hims. eBot can display crisp, clear, high-definition images wirelessly directly onto your iPad or Android tablet.
No one else can do that.
You can also connect eBot to your Mac, PC, or an HD monitor. Want more information? Call 888-520-4467 or visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com. HIMS, your needs are our solutions.
Looking for the perfect gift for a loved one with vision loss? Elegant Insights Braille Creations offers a distinctive collection of jewelry and accessories, all handcrafted, made in the USA, and embossed in crisp, readable Braille. Find us on the web at elegantinsightsjewelry.com or call us at 509-264-2588. Elegant Insights Braille Creations, jewelry and accessories with a tactile twist.
Live at the 30th anniversary conference of the International AER for the Saratok Podcast Network. I'm doing coverage sponsored by HIMS. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm speaking with Alisa from VR Horizons. Hi, Alisa. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully, and this seems like a very, absolutely a perfect show for you and your organization to be at because of what you do. Why don't we talk a little bit about that? Great. What is VR Horizons all about?
Great. Yeah, VR Horizons is a wonderful free resource for anybody across the United States. We provide resources, a community discussion board. We provide guest blogging opportunities for individuals across the United States. We do VR-related resources, disability-related resources. We try to connect people to the resources that they are searching for. We're an online free community that you can sign up for, get newsletters, get news articles about updates and policy. It's a really, the sky's the limit for what we can do for people. So we try to do it all for everybody. So.
And this is not just VR for a single disability, right?
Right.
You cover all sorts of topics.
Great, yeah. We try to target everybody across all disabilities and all abilities. So we also like to connect VR professionals and individuals that work with individuals with disabilities. So we're trying to connect people with people and people with resources. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So not only can people read things that have been written already, say blogs, resources, publications, and the like, are there things such as message boards where people can post on different topics?
Yes, people can join discussion boards on a wide range of topics. They can start their own discussions if they want a product review about an application they've used. You know, they can post their review. They can request reviews on different products that they're interested in about, services, good training tips. So, yeah, the discussion boards are growing, and anyone can join that. It's a free resource, not limited. So, yeah, people can connect with people over any topic. So,
it sounds perfect. How long has the website been active?
Well, we've just rebooted the website within about last 6 months. It's really grown pretty exponentially, but it's been around for quite a few years now, but we're really growing it back into the glory of what it really could be. So, we're really excited about it, and we're always looking for new organizations to sponsor and get on our website as a resource, list the organizations, and try to connect people with the good resources that are out there. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, where can people find VR Horizons on the web?
You can find us at VRHorizons.com or on our executive sponsor's website, GetAware.com. That is Alliance Enterprises. They're our executive sponsor, and they allow us to function as a free resource. So you can find us on either of those two websites find us on the web. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and so you can find us through those resources as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
This sounds wonderful. And of course, again, it is free, so you can't argue with that.
No, that's the best.
Great place to connect with other people and get all the information that you need. And of course, share some as well.
Yes.
Alisa, I want to thank you so much for letting our listeners know about this. I think it's going to be a fantastic resource, and I expect this is going to continue to grow.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rickley, for taking the time to interview us and learn more about VR Horizons. So,
for the Saratok Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Welcome, everyone, to San Antonio, Texas, in which we are at the International AER Convention, sponsored by HIMSS. I'm here with Judy Bird, and we're going to talk about something that I was never really good at in my elementary years, kickball. But it's a little different. It's not your average kickball, is it, ma'am?
No, it's not. It's called beep kickball because it's an adapted sport for kids who are visually impaired and blind.
I needed that back then. You know, having one eye, depth perception, was never really good at balls rolling towards me, you know?
It's something that we have designed, and it's played a lot like beep baseball.
Okay.
We took the rules for beep baseball, and we modified them for young children, and that's how we came up with the concept. Young children needed something to play, and so here we are.
And activity, physical activity. Not only are you doing something that your sighted siblings or your peers might be doing, you're also moving around and not just being sedentary.
Yes, exactly. We've got about 75 locations across the United States.
Wow.
Playing beep kickball, schools for the blind, camps for the blind. We've got professors teaching it in their adapted PE classes. And so it's spreading pretty quickly. So we hope every child has an opportunity to just get out there and run and kick and play.
That is fantastic. So just like in kickball, so if you're not familiar or if you've never played beep baseball, you've got home, you've got the three bases, I assume, and a pitcher in the middle that rolls the ball towards the person who would then kick it out to the outfield or infield.
Now, that's how regular kickball is played, but
right,
not beep kickball.
Okay.
What we do in beep kickball is we have two bases, first
okay,
and third. We do not have a second base.
Gotcha.
There's no throwing the ball in the field, and there's no running all the way around the bases. The bases buzz, and the ball beeps. We have no pitcher, and there are five players on a team, and they all wear blindfolds to equalize the differences in vision.
Right. Okay.
So simply put, the kicker kicks the ball. He runs to tag the base that's buzzing, which will be random, and the fielder's job is to locate and pick up the ball. If the fielders, just like in beep baseball, pick up the ball before the runner tags the base, he's out. Otherwise, he's safe and scores a run, and the next kicker is up. Very simple.
Wow. Now, these are, I would assume, kind of like bases in beep baseball, kind of padded?
Yes, we use the same bases that they use in beep baseball in beep kickball.
Okay. And the ball itself is fairly durable, I would imagine.
Ball itself is fairly durable. It's extremely durable. It's a 10-inch in diameter, soft foam, lightweight, very hard skin on the outside, and it's embedded with beepers. And the nice thing is, if you do break it, the parts are replaceable, unlike the beep baseball. So you just remove a part and stick the new part back in if you break a speaker. And we've had very few of them broken, believe it or not, in the 3 years of sales.
That is amazing. Okay, so leagues and places you can go to test this out yourself and play with that. But if you wanted to start up your own league or learn more information about where to purchase the ball and the equipment, where could they go?
Go to www.beepkickball.com to find out all about the rules and where it's played and to see a couple of videos. And also we have a Facebook page called Beep Kickball Association, and you can learn the same information there. What we hope is you'll find a location near you that's active and that's playing, and you can either borrow the ball and start an event yourself or go over there and play.
Fantastic. Great. Well, I thank you for your time, and we appreciate you talking about something that we all should be doing more, exercising.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Recording live in San Antonio for the 30th Anniversary International AER Conference. We've got coverage sponsored by HIMSS. I'm Ricky Enger, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Robin at Perkins eLearning. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Hi, Ricky. Thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely. Now, I've had several interviews over the years with Perkins Products, and you guys, of course, are a different division altogether. There's Perkins School for the Blind, which does all sorts of wonderful things, and the e-learning division. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys do.
Great, I'd love to. Yeah, Perkins Products is right behind us here on the exhibit floor, and I think probably you and all your audience are very familiar with them. You may not know as much about e-learning, which is our professional development and training group. So we're based out of Perkins Training and Education Resources Program. And what we're trying to do is get resources out to the community that needs them, whether that's teachers, families, graduate students. Our resources through our website, which I'm going to plug, is perkinselearning.org.
Yep.
Perkinselearning, all one word. Once you come there, you're going to find materials you can use in your classroom with your students. You'll find materials that you can use to for your own professional development, earning ACVREP credits, or other kinds of professional or graduate credits, and also resources for searching. As you probably know, Ricky, when you try to find something online, things for about blindness and visual impairment are usually like on page 20.
Oh, yes.
they don't bubble
no
up to the top.
Resource,
there's
right.
too few of us clicking on those for it to be the top match. So what we've done through Perkins eLearning is take all those materials and kind of create a sort of a Google for blindness and visual impairment. So every search result is going to be about blindness and visual impairment. That's the kind of resource. Wonder Baby, which is a parent support resource that comes out of Perkins, is also part of our group. And what I'm really excited about is because so many professionals in our field are visually impaired themselves, we need to make sure that our training materials are also accessible.
Yes,
so it's
that's
not just enough
important.
For the student who might be participating, but the teacher as well. We use a Moodle platform, which is one of the most accessible, and we've kind of configured ours to help reduce a lot of the pop-up and the confusion that can happen.
Yes.
It's all screen reader friendly. All our multimedia is captioned and audio described where it needs to be audio described so that everybody's kind of on a level playing field.
So gone are the days where you get this huge thick print book and it's like,
exactly.
go scan that, do something
good,
with
good
it.
Good luck with that. Go put that in Braille. As much as we can, we try to make material available in either BRF format or just plain text so that people can then put that to use in whatever device they like. What's the format you like? We've had instructors who are visually impaired. We certainly have a lot of participants who are visually impaired, including people who have also hearing loss and vision loss. So that we were able to reach such a wider group of people who really need our resources.
Absolutely. So let's talk about any costs associated. Are there both free and for-pay resources?
There sure are, and we have a full range. So something like, I've been wondering about CHARGE syndrome. How can I find information about that? We have web-based resources that are free. Just come onto our website, look at them, use them however you'd like. We hear from some teachers, they will get together as a brown bag and like, let's watch this 1 hour thing about the expanded core curriculum.
Nice.
And then we can all talk about it together. Those things are all free. We also have these monthly webinars, live lectures that we produce that come, again, remotely from all over the world, so everybody can participate. Those are free to participate in, and we record those as well. So you can come back and find a bank of resources and choose the ones that you want. The only thing we charge for is if you do want some academic credits for that, well, not academic credits, continuing education credits or ACVREP credits, you'll register for an assessment with us based on the material. It's usually like a 10-question quiz.
Right.
And those can be as low as $25, $30.
Excellent.
The graduate-level classes can be as much as $500, say, for a 6 or 7 week class. We're affiliated with Fitchburg State University in Massachusetts. They can award graduate credits for us. So we do have that range. Most of our books are $20 and $30. We've just presented an iBook on teaching Braille that's only $9.99.
Nice.
So we're trying to meet people where they are, too. We've got a full range of costs.
And I think that's important. I think to have these resources in formats that are accessible and are accessible, you know, economically as
yes,
well,
that's a good
wonderful.
Point. That's another kind of access, isn't it?
Yes. One more time, let's plug that website.
That website again, www.perkinselearning.org.
So stop what you're doing right now and go check out this wonderful resource, and you're going to find something that you would love to learn about.
Thanks for supporting us, Ricky. We are big fans.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Robin, for taking a little time with me today. And again, everybody head on over to that website.
Thanks.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger.
Joe Steinkamp here at International AER, right near the Alamo, and I'm actually right near the MaxiAids booth with Barry. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Joe. Nice to talk to you, as always. And I just want to tell you about some of the things we have available at MaxiAids. We're displaying Braille watches and talking watches, talking blood pressure machines. We carry a large selection of canes, including the Europa and the Ambutec. We also specialize in the monocular telescopes, the Ryzen telescopes, and the Speckwell telescopes. We have an assortment of CCTVs. We have our PCI, which is a portable CCTV that goes right into a computer or a TV. We also have the new CCTVs from NordicEye. I'm also showing the Besser and Coil magnifiers. And we do have a new catalog coming out, which will be available in the next 2 weeks. So you can call it 800-522-6294. That's 800-522-6294 and order the brand new Maxi AIDS catalog. And we have over 8,000 wonderful products. We also feature the Beecher. We have additional lighting from Luxo and Dazor. And we have the full selection of products from Noir for the sun shields. So we're a one-stop shop for all your needs, and we'd be very happy to hear from you folks. And Joe, thank you very much.
You bet. What seems to be very popular for the show so far?
We're showing our magnifiers and our Ryzen monocular telescopes and our Ambutec canes and our Ryzen talking watches and our Ryzen Braille watches and our Ryzen talking calculator and adaptive keyboards.
Sure. And, being that this is mostly an educated, educator and vocational rehabilitation show, did you find yourself approaching your catalog selection a little differently for this show than, say, CSUN or convention at NFB or ACB?
A number of the people in AER specialize in a particular field.
Right.
For the orientational mobility instructors, we do very well with the canes and the monoculars.
Right.
For the vision teachers, we have the electronic magnifier CCTVs.
Right.
And our handheld magnifiers and other magnification devices.
Excellent.
For the rehab teachers, we have the talking watches, the household items, the kitchen items, and the products that help people remain independent.
Exactly.
So we are able to meet the needs of all these specialists in all these fields, the mobility folks, orientation mobility folks, the vision teachers, the rehab teachers. So we are a big asset to all these disciplines, and we can provide the products and the resources to help people. And that's what we love doing, and we've been doing this for over 25 years.
And if they want to be able to give you their address for the new catalog, they probably go to the website?
They go to the website, or what they can email us at sales@maxiaids.com or call us at 800-522-6294. Our wonderful 230-page catalog will be out within a week or so.
That's going to be really interesting to read. It's always an exciting time, right in time for Christmas.
That's right. And we also have an incredible website, www.maxiaids.com, which has all our products as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time today, sir. I do appreciate
it. Joe, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. For the Saratok Podcast Network, sponsored by HIMSS, International AER coverage continues.
International AER coverage sponsored by HIMSS on the Saratok Podcast Network, brought to you by Ricky Enger, which happens to be me. I am at the Jewelry in Braille booth, and I had to stop looking at the jewelry long enough to speak with Kelly Fair from Jewelry in Braille. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I am wonderful. I'm always fascinated to see people who are crafty, I suppose we will use that word. I am certainly not one of those people. But how did you get started doing this as a business?
About 8 years ago, I was trying to come up with a way of making a piece for my niece who was born blind. I have a degree in jewelry design, and she, again, being blind, has always enjoyed things that had Braille or something that would be relating to her.
Yes.
So my goal was to come up with something that was unique for her. What was out there at the time was, it wasn't as nice as it could be.
Yes.
I think her first Braille piece was a stamped metal heart with a label, a sticky label that said love.
Aww,
and my thought was that, especially being in the arts myself, everyone deserves nice things.
Absolutely.
And that is what my philosophy has been from day one. So that's where I started.
It's interesting having, you know, Braille designs on things, and I'm always so happy to see that. Like, wow, oh, there's Braille on this, there's Braille
exactly.
on that. Have you done, in addition to this, things that may not necessarily have Braille, but do have some interesting textures that are tactilely pleasing as well as looking great visually.
Well, that's one of the things I strive for as well. It's even, I have Braille letter beads, and on the bracelet itself, there will be other beads that go along with it. And my goal is to have things that are tech, that feel good and should have a nice texture and isn't something that is necessarily just plain and boring. It's going to have many of your senses involved in my pieces.
As you sell these things, do you design a lot of it yourself? Do you do custom things, or is it a bit of both?
I design every single solitary thing that I sell.
Awesome.
I have within my collection, I have kind of two facets. I have my handmade pieces that I make every day in my studio by myself, mm-hmm. and then things that I do have manufactured, but it's all 100% my design. And it's all my quality control and make sure everything is exactly the way that I envisioned it in the first place. Spacing in Braille is extremely important to me. It's got to be legible, because otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
Exactly. And things that I've seen in other people's work that may visually be an interesting piece, but a blind person wouldn't be able to read it. And again, that really defeats the purpose.
Absolutely. Do people approach you for custom pieces as well?
All the time. All the time. There is a section on my website, jewelryandbraille.com, that is all about custom work. And what you could do is you say, I have an idea, I have a name, a phrase, and I would create artwork to then make the piece for them.
That is excellent. And again, that site is jewelryinbraille.com. So if someone is not lucky enough to be able to see some of this stuff hands-on, how do you go about describing these pieces that are on the site and available for sale?
All of the pieces on my website do have a description of what they are, what they look like, and hopefully as much as I can share with the person if they're not sighted. If they need something above and beyond that, I always encourage them to give me a call and we can discuss if you're looking for something specific. And I can kind of go through what I already have available and find something that is really tailor-made for them. Or, again, we can go into the custom end of things.
Absolutely. So, again, jewelryinbraille.com is where you want to go to check this out. And, Kelly, I want to thank you for taking some time to talk with me about this and for getting a chance to look at all this cool jewelry here.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. For the Saratok Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Inger. AER coverage sponsored by HIMSS for the Saratok Podcast Network. I'm Ricky Anger, and our coverage is sponsored by HIMSS. I'm here talking with Dr. Gupta from InterOperate, and we're going to talk about Braille math. This is actually a pretty interesting concept. How exactly does this work?
So the Braille math tool is intended to help students who are in a regular classroom. If they do their homework using Braille, for example, on a Perkins Brailler, then the teacher cannot read their homework or grade their homework unless they know Braille. So if they don't know Braille, then they can use our tool to convert the Braille document into PDF.
That's fantastic. How does something like that work? How do we do the translation from these Braille dots into something that's readable in print?
So what you do is, once you have the Braille document that has been typed on a Perkins Brailler, you put it on an ordinary scanner and obtain the image of the Braille document. The image has to be a JPEG image.
Okay.
Then you take the JPEG image and feed it to the software, and the software will recognize the Nemeth code, will recognize the contracted Braille text, it'll separate the two, convert them separately, and then merge the two together to produce a final document that essentially looks like a print rendering of the original Braille.
Yes. So you could either print this out, or somebody could perhaps open this as this maybe PDF, something like that?
Absolutely. Yes. So then the PDF can be mailed to somebody, or it can be printed on a printer, or just can be viewed on the screen.
So you could, even if you're a student and you've done your Braille homework at home and you need to turn it in the next day, you can scan this and then just email the PDF rather than needing to hand a print copy to the teacher as well,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yes, you can do that, yes, absolutely.
Very good. How did this come about? What inspired you to research this?
So this tool has been more than 10 years in the making, actually. I'm actually, my full-time job is as a university professor of computer science. Mm-hmm. So I was working with my department head, and he was working in assistive technology. he came across this problem and he thought that the research work that I do could solve this problem. This is back in 98. So we started working on this as a research problem, and here we are 15 years later with a finished product.
It is pretty amazing, especially the idea that, of course, Nemeth code and grade 2 Braille are different, and you have to be able to recognize when to switch from one to the other, and then just recognizing the pattern of dots and turning this into something print. It sounds like quite an undertaking.
So there are challenges. For example, R plus S is rings
in
grade 2 Braille.
Yes.
And R plus S is also a Nemeth code expression. So sometimes the software will get confused, but the user has the ability to make changes to the file that is produced so that the correct output is produced. Yes, so it is challenging, absolutely.
So if you do this, let's say that you're a college student and you scan in what you've done, how would you then open that file, proofread it, make changes if necessary?
So once you scan the image on a scanner, then sometimes what can happen is that the dot is punctured or blind student has...
There could
erased.
Be a grain of sugar on the paper or something.
A grain of sugar
like
on the paper, or yeah, there are blemishes, or they have erased a Braille character. So the tool will allow you to edit the image using MS Paint, Microsoft Paint, or something like that to remove the blemishes. Mm-hmm. And then once that is done, then you can call the software on the... call the converter to convert it to PDF. And it actually produces an intermediate ASCII Braille file that can be viewed, and you can edit that as well. The teacher can insert his or her comments for the student. And then the student can be emailed that ASCII Braille file, and they can actually read that ASCII Braille file on their note taker as well. So they can actually also get feedback from their teacher.
For someone who wants to learn more about this tool and actually get going with it, what's the best way to do that? Where should they go?
So they should go to our website, which is math.interoperate.biz. Mm-hmm.
So math.interoperate.biz.
Yeah, interoperate is spelled interoperate mm-hmm. .biz.
Yes. And once they're there, they can get information
about... They can get information, absolutely. They can see the user manual. Mm-hmm. They can get information about capabilities of the tool. There's contact information, all kinds of... And there are also samples of translations from Braille images to PDF.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Gupta, I want to thank you for taking a bit of time to talk to me about this fascinating tool, and I think lots of people are going to find this very useful.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. My pleasure.
For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Inger.
Well, that's going to do it for the second of our three specials from International AER. If you'd like to learn more about the people that we spoke to here, or if you would like to join the organization of AER, head to the show notes, www.serotalk.com. That's www.serotalk.com. And while you're on the blog, drop us a comment. Let us know what you think about our coverage. Or give us a shout out on Twitter, twitter.com/serotalk. If you're listening to us on iBlink Radio, pop on up to the top of the screen right there in the homepage. Leave us an iReport and let us know what you think about this particular coverage. And of course, we also have resources at serotalk.com. Feed the mailbag. He loves, she loves, it loves. We're not really sure about the mailbag. It's just an entity, you know. But I can tell you that it loves your cards and letters and comments. So be sure to let us know what you think about this coverage or any of our coverage from 2014 that's been sponsored by Hymns and Elegant Insights. Thank you again for listening, and we'll see you on the next special.